2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
This is Hans Olsen and Scotty G, presented by U First Credit Union on 97.5, the Sports Zone.
You wired me awake and hit me with a hand of broken nail.
Hans and Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
I was just laughing at how different Jay Catch and I tweet.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I just tweeted out, AJ Vompachon just puked a center. Not real good at it. And then I look at Jay Catch. He sent out this eloquent tweet about having COVID that's, like, masterfully written.
He doesn't have COVID yet.
Oh, that...
got family members.
He's got immediate family members.
Yeah.
But the way he tweets is like, you know, Daniel Steele writing a novel.
Daniel Steele? Oh, man.
It's very
Daniel
descriptive.
Daniel Steele even with us anymore?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
She was pushing out a book like every 3 or 4 months back in the day. Is that AJ Vompachon?
He's puking the center. Jake said, I've been dodging COVID-19 for years now and expect to be back at my post ASAP. I am vaccinated, I'm boosted, and I'm thankful to have my health, seeing how serious this virus has been for so many. In the meantime, I'll be working from home, contributing to help DJ and PK keep bringing you their unique blend of sports analysis and chuckle-worthy moments, albeit away from the studio. I'm already missing being at the controls of the show, but I'll be back in studio soon enough.
You had to let me know you were going to read that. I would have had some missive music underneath.
Oh. It's just good tweeting is what it is. So good.
Oh, man.
I had my first DNP COVID absence this morning. Not just, I just love the guy. He's got periods and commas. Everything's capitalized.
Right? Semicolon in there somewhere. He's got a semicolon. Oh man, it's like it is kind of have that vibe of like when a soldier is going off to the Civil War.
Dearest, I will return to my post shortly.
Dearest Beatrice. The lads were sick.
This is how he finished it. I'm already missing being at the controls of the show, but I'll be back in studio soon enough. Gosh, I love that guy. Get better even though you're not sick. Get better, Jake. I'm telling you, this is the best tweet that I've seen for a non-COVID positive test ever.
It's impressive.
Yeah, man, it's good. I do hope that his entire family gets healthy.
I know. I think he's the only one in the house that does not have COVID.
Oh, are you being serious?
Yeah. Wife and kids.
Were they out in public doing something or what?
Well, they went on that big trip last week.
Oh, did they go somewhere where there were a lot of people?
Happiest place on earth.
Oh, yeah. most packed place on earth.
Oh, man.
Seriously, though, I do hope everybody's okay.
Yeah.
But his tweet was just classic, man. That is well written.
I do. Like, we are in a day and age right now where we're just plowing through this thing. I mean, David, he talked about he's got his two negatives and a positive, but it doesn't matter. He's got a positive. So now I'm trying to figure out what I know about the we get a look at Chet Holmgren tonight.
That is really good.
I get an up close and I will have, yes, and I know, I apologize. Eric, nobody knows the trouble that you are all about to hear tonight more than our guy Eric, who has to listen to all my Utah State nonsense throughout the year. But yeah, I'm feeling
it. Do you have something special dialed up for old Chet?
You want me to work any key phrases in tonight? Because sometimes the Utah State game, when they get really, like, those games matter. Like, summer league games don't matter. And so sometimes when we have, like, wham, bam, can of ham in a really, like, close overtime, I'm like, I don't know, I probably shouldn't be saying that. But it's summer league. Like, nobody, I don't want to say nobody cares, but it's summer league. Let's be honest here. So we can get a little bit more loose on a summer league game.
He's all cheddared up.
Maybe. Was it Mike Holmgren that had the son that was his stepkid?
No. That was the coach of the Cowboys. Who's that dude?
Mike McCarthy.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
It's
his son. I don't know if there's a Mike Holmgren thing that you could work at. They just don't call him Mike. Mike Holmgren with another three.
Oh, see, don't put that in my
Mike
head.
Mike Holmgren.
Now it's going to happen.
Home green light.
Oh, man. You'll do good tonight. I'm excited to hear it.
Yeah, let's keep that bar pretty low tonight.
Oh, it'll be fun, man. You'll kill it. You always do.
So, yeah, that'll happen tonight. 7 o'clock, you'll hear it right here on the Zone Sports Network. All right. Will Hardy, next new head coach of the Utah Jazz, press conference earlier today. If you missed it, here's a chunk of that press conference with Will Hardy introducing himself, and the family was there in attendance as well as the newest head man for the Jazz.
Thank you. Welcome, and thanks for getting up early. I know it was probably a late night for a lot of you, but today's an exciting day. It's an exciting day for the state of Utah. I think it's an incredibly exciting day for this organization and our franchise moving forward, and we couldn't be more excited to welcome Will Hardy as our next basketball coach and Spencer and your family to Utah. So on behalf of this organization and everyone, we're excited to have you.
Thank you.
This has been an interesting process. It's been the first process I've gone through like this. I've been through a lot of searches. This is the first time I've been part of a head coaching search, and so I think, first of all, I just want to thank Justin Zanuck, RGM, Danny Ainge, CEO of basketball, and the coaching committee that you guys put together in the process you run with Marquise and Bart Taylor, Luca, Chuck, Whitley, Lindsay. I know I'm forgetting someone.
Arnold.
But it was... It was incredible. Steve Schwartz. It was a unifying process for this organization. I'll tell you one thing is I think Danny might have and Justin might have cast the widest net I've seen in a coaching search. But to bring it down, we couldn't be more excited from an ownership group. I know Dwayne, myself, and where we landed, it was unanimous that as we were looking at Will and we saw everything that he stands for, the way that Will has taken advantage of absolutely every single opportunity that he's had and found opportunities that probably weren't there, the trajectory for Will Hardy is as far as he wants to take it. We couldn't be more excited to partner with him. We're all in this together, and we're excited. So with that, I'm just going to turn it over to our CEO of basketball, Danny Ainge.
So, we're excited to have Will here today and Spencer and Elliot and Pierce. Not here yet. We're waiting for them. But it was a fun process. I think, we set out to do three things. And one was I wanted to get to work with our staff and get to know them better. And that was a lot of fun. And then we wanted to pick the best coach that we thought was available and We've done that, and then collectively, and then also I wanted, you know, Will to also be introduced to that entire group also, so there would be some unity just from day one. And they're all here at the press conference, so that seems like it's working well. But the process was unique in that I've been through a couple coaching searches before, but it was just who do you want and go pick the guy you want, and that was it. So this was unique in that we interviewed a lot of people, and I think that the competition was pretty good. There's a lot of really good candidates out there, and I appreciate the time that they gave us. But it was a resounding success in that we found Will through this process, and that Ryan and Dwayne came in the last stages of it, and they confirmed what we had. We were prepared to go back to the board and go back to the drawing board and interview again and again and spend much more time in this process if we needed to. But it seemed like after the few stages that we went through that Will was our guy, and we couldn't be more excited.
Thanks, Danny. Hello to everybody. I need to start with some thank yous first. First and foremost, my wife. A lot of sacrifices for me and our family to allow me to do what I love. And it's not lost on me that those sacrifices are as big a reason that I'm sitting here as anything that I've done. So thank you, babe. I love you. The San Antonio Spurs, the first 11 years of my career, helped me really set a foundation for who I am as a coach, helped me form habits, not only as a coach, but as a young professional. This last year at the Boston Celtics, an incredible opportunity for me and my family, maybe the biggest year of growth of my life. And Ime and the players there were so good to me, and though I wasn't there long, those relationships will be with me forever. And then that's led me here. I want to thank Ryan, Danny, Justin, and the organization for entrusting me with this great responsibility. It's an amazing opportunity, and it's not one that I take lightly. And I look forward to our partnership and growing together as we move forward. My time in San Antonio and Boston really helped formulate for me what's important to me as a coach. And as we move into this next chapter here in Utah, I want our team to represent toughness, sacrifice, and passion. I think that those values are very reflective of this organization, but also their values that the state of Utah and our incredible fan base can feel deeply connected to and very, very proud of. So for myself, my wife, and our two little girls, we're really excited about joining this community, and thank you for welcoming us with open arms, and it's time to get to work. Thank you.
Will, looking back at your time in San Antonio, what kind of influence did Coach Popovich have in terms of mentoring you and influencing your coaching style and your coaching philosophy?
I mean, that list is long. Pop was such a great mentor for me, as long as countless coaches in this league and in Europe, as you guys well know. But when I think of Pop and the things that I took from him, you know, first and foremost, he always made it about the people first. And that's really important to me, that we build those relationships and make this about the people first. And secondly, he's one of the most competitive people I've ever been around in my life. And that permeated through the organization, through the staff, and through the players every single day.
Ben Anderson from KSL Sports. Where do you start? I mean, what do you go back and watch every game from last season? What does this process look like for you?
Yeah, I think right now it's about the relationships. It was really important to me and my family to get out here as quickly as possible and start to build those relationships, not just with our players, but with our staff. I think for me to be an effective leader, I have to have that personal capital built up with everybody. And so my goal these first couple of months is to really hope that everybody here, you guys included, get to know me as a person before you get to know me as a coach. I think that that'll only strengthen the relationships, and then down the road that's going to help us all be honest with each other.
Coach Dana Green with ABC4 over here. A lot has been made about your age, only 34 years old, but there's been so much success from young coaches, Ime Udoka first year, Nick Nurse. How do you think it's going to maybe be an advantage, and what kind of obstacles do you have to overcome as such a young head coach?
Yeah, honestly, it's really not something that I've ever thought about. As Ryan alluded to, I've always just tried to make the most of every opportunity that I've had, and I don't look at this any differently. I really don't think about it maybe as much as you guys do. You know, I am 34, and I'm fine with that. So I look forward to just building these relationships, you know, very honestly and candidly as we get this process going.
Jake from the Zone. Coach, do you have a mission statement or like qualities for your ideal team to have? You may have touched on this a little bit earlier, but could you elaborate?
Yeah, like I said earlier, toughness, sacrifice, and passion are the three things that are most important to me. You know, I want our group to be deeply competitive, able to deal with adversity. I would like for everybody to recognize that this is bigger than them individually, and everybody's going to have to get out of their comfort zone a little bit as we move forward. And then just the energy that this takes every single day from everybody if you want to be successful. The willingness to learn and grow every day is always going to be very important to us.
Coach Eric Walden, Salt Lake Tribune. As you were going through the interview process, what were kind of the discussions in terms of how the roster will look? Obviously, this team, you know, has done a few things. It's kind of an organization in transition. Was your preference to come to a team that had made six consecutive playoff appearances? Were you fine with accepting, you know, a potential retool, rebuild, however you want to label it?
Yeah, I think throughout the process and all of our conversations, Danny, Justin, Ryan, they were very honest about their multiple paths that this team could take. And I don't necessarily have a preference. I look forward to the partnership with them and doing this together, whichever direction, you know, they decide that we should go. I trust them and their vision for this organization.
Danny and Ryan, why did Will stand out? While we're in the interview process, the things that kind of separated him from the other candidates that impressed you so much?
I think Will's presence first, his confidence, his knowledge, his basketball acumen. Many times throughout the process, like I said, there was a lot of really good candidates, and so winning this competition, for lack of a better word, was pretty impressive for Will, but how we had selected him. But I think that his desire to build the relationships that he's already referred to a few times, we feel like he is a relationship builder, great basketball acumen, and a really good presence. And, you know, yeah, he's 34 years old, but he didn't feel 34 to us, or we didn't really pay much attention to that. He just seemed very mature, very prepared. We put him through some exercises, basketball scouting reports and player development plans, and he seemed very, very qualified. And on top of that, many times in his answers, he spoke my language and spoke the language of my staff over there who was you know, listening to it as well. And anyway, I'm very excited about this opportunity for him.
Yeah, I think, you know, we have a pretty diverse group of people who come from different backgrounds and thought. I think his ability to connect with all of us, I mean, that says something throughout the process. But, you know, I think also just the willingness and desire to have a partnership and go forward. I mean, you heard that when we're talking about the team. There's been a humbleness, but also enough of an it factor that I think, you know, people gravitate to. And so for me, I think we're all looking at it from different angles, whether it's from leadership, obviously on the basketball side, situational fluency, like how are you going to work in different situations. And, you know, for all of us to feel comfortable in every single one of those kind of vectors, that's it's pretty amazing.
Hey, Will. Ryan Miller, KSL.com. You mentioned that you take advantage of your opportunities. What is it about you that allows you to do that?
I think I just try to come every day with, you know, some humility and the understanding that I don't necessarily know everything. I've had a lot of people that I've been around that I've tried to learn from. I've worked with a lot of great coaches and been around a lot of great players, and I've really tried to just take my work ethic into all those situations and take little bits and pieces from everybody. You know, I'm lucky to have that foundation of a really good work ethic, and I've been very fortunate to have people give their time and energy to help me learn and grow.
Will, Sarah Todd, Deseret News. Is there a process that you're going by that you already have laid out for your staff that you're going to be bringing in, and what kind of retention might you have from the previous staff? And Danny, also, what's the language?
Oh, go ahead. No, I'll let you go first.
You know, we're working through the staff stuff now. Like Danny said, there's a lot of great coaches in the NBA, and a bunch of those coaches are already here. So I'm taking this time to get to know them and have them get to know me, so that we can put together the best group that we can to support our players and help them reach their maximum potential.
There you go. Interesting press conference earlier today. That is the head coach of the Utah Jazz, Will Hardy.
He is not Ric Flair.
No, he's not Craig Smith.
No, he's not coming in booming voice, trying to own the podium, own the mic. I think in the back of his mind, he's like, this is my first shot. I don't know how many more shots I'm going to get like this. Because Scotty, he's going to be a good coach. I mean, his pedigree says he'll be a good coach. But you don't get a ton of shots. When you're a first-time guy, you don't get a ton of shots if you don't show real promise in your first opportunity. So he's probably got a lot on his mind, and you can tell it. And I think he just wants to get to work.
Yeah.
To show people what he can do. Not talk about what he can do, but just let me show him.
Probably tired of the whole 34-year-old thing.
Oh, I'm sure. And I think it's completely irrelevant. I don't worry about the age at all. What I worry about is the roster that he's going to have to coach.
That's fair.
That's
a fair concern.
Because he could be given a roster that he could have this incredible coaching performance and still only have 28, 32 wins.
As of right now, I mean, there wasn't a lot of great defense on this team collectively as a team from last year's team. And you took the two best defenders from that team. Yeah, you did. I mean, if you keep Patrick Beverley, he's a heck of a defender, but, I mean, still a little up there in age. But you're taking a big step backwards defensively.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Hans and Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Miles Broadhead, kind enough to join us from Wasatch Medical. And, Miles, let's talk a little bit about if somebody calls now, 801-901-8000, they set up that assessment, that free assessment, which you guys are kind enough to offer up free of charge. What's that process like and what goes on there?
It's a lot easier than people may think. Again, we're offering for anybody who calls today that exam assessment and blood flow ultrasound, all for free, with the additional gift that we throw in that you're going to love. When you call and you make the appointment, you're going to get exactly what it sounds, an assessment by one of our healthcare providers to determine if you're a good candidate, which the good news is most men are.
801-901-8000. You get that assessment. It's free. You find out that you're a candidate for acoustic wave therapy. Now talk us through that process. And the great thing is there's an end date to this. This isn't something you have to do forever, like taking the blue pill.
That's right. For 30 years, we've had to deal with the pill and all its side effects. Now we're offering a technology, not a pill, and it's called wave therapy. And how it works is gentle pressure waves travel through your skin into the blood vessels, causing them to expand to allow for more blood flow. That makes for much better results in the bedroom. This is a heavily vetted technology. Over 60 independent studies from 5 different countries. Cambridge has studied this. The Cleveland Clinic has studied this. They all call it safe and effective. Some are even calling it the new standard of care for ED treatment.
801-901-8000. Call right now, 801-901-8000. This is 97.5, 1280 The Zone.
And it's time to talk some sports. This is Sports Roulette with Hanson Scotty, presented by U First Credit Union on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Hanson Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Yeah, I sent out that, tweeted out that picture. Could you have got it instantly? Did you see the picture? Name the movie?
Yeah, Nuns on the Run.
That's not Nuns on the Run. No. You could have got that, right? Just off that one image?
Yeah.
No. And I've got people sending in the wrong one. Somebody said Short Circuit Part 2. That's ridiculous. Somebody said that is two fifths of the something BYU's backfield or something. It's just some funny stuff, but I just sent out a picture, just an image, kind of a close-up image, and asked to name the movie just based off this image. It's just, I don't know why, like, you would never, I know one of those actors is recognizable, but you only had to see this movie one time to be able to recognize both of them. You're a dork. I'm going to put wrong. She just said Miss Doubtfire? It's a good guess.
Hello!
Just off a little bit. But that is one of the best movies all time. Best 80s movies all time.
Next year, we're going to have to do the 80s drama bracket.
Yeah.
Yeah.
80s thrillers, 80s dramas.
Yeah, that'd work.
Yeah. So good, man.
We kind of assumed, Hans, because this has kind of been the trend, that news breaks in the middle of our show.
Yeah. We've been caught unprepared here.
Come on, Big 12, let's go.
Don't have anything else to talk about. Kind of left this space open.
Do something. Let's go.
Should we just sit here until something happens?
Just wait. Let's do a dramatic reading of Jake Hatch's tweets until something happens.
Yes. I'm up for it, man. I'm up for it. Although the Sports Roulette Wheel has 15 headlines on it, there is plenty to talk about.
E-Rock, you know how to run that wheel over there? All right, it says yes. All right, let's go. Spin it.
A former Jazz player is going after the NBA.
Have you seen, oh man, what does Ennis call himself now?
Ennis Freedom, I believe.
Ennis Freedom. Did you see Ennis go after the commissioner and the NBA?
I did not, but I usually kind of tune him out.
Ooh. Said they're pushing me to retire at age 30, unfortunately. I'm going to just keep pushing through it. Still working out, still practicing. But the one thing I can say is the NBA and Adam Silver is definitely one of the most hypocritical organizations and one of the most hypocritical commissioners out there in the world. Billions of dollars tied up in that dictatorship, talking about the business going on in China. Said they stand up for things until it affects their money or business. And someone had to expose them, and someone finally exposed them, and it was firsthand. So Ennis is just going right at the NBA. I guess anybody, you know, Ennis is, I mean, at least he's been consistent. He's been pretty consistent. He will speak up about anything. But this, if you're wanting to stay in the NBA, this is going to make it a little more difficult.
I don't think that's going to resonate very well. I think, Ennis, you had a much better career than I think a lot of people thought you were going to have. But it's probably done now.
Career was much better than the ability.
Yeah.
But, and you know, I always have, I actually do like the fact that he speaks for peace. He's always kind of spoke from the heart. But this one is probably going to get him. Now, he's not wrong. There are business deals that would certainly make you double look and say, all right, how much are you guys going to sit there and yell about human rights and be in business with China and not kind of look inwards and be like, okay, well, what is our business dealings and how clean is that,
yeah,
what we're doing? And because you get LeBron James that speaks on everything. But when it comes to China, he's like, oh, no, it's all okay there. And I can understand why Ennis is...
The Daryl Morey, LeBron James, China thing, that was not a good look for LeBron.
Oh, it's so bad. And really, this is a bad look for the NBA because they really do speak on human rights often.
Yes.
And that's great. I am grateful for that. Continue to bring that awareness. Just make sure you're doing it in all cases. And not supporting or not putting money into a country that is known for human rights violations. Every country has human rights violations. This is where it gets shady. You know, the Live Tour, you've got all these people just ticked off about the Live Tour. But it's always like, where are you getting your money?
Yeah.
It seems like it's always going to be traced back to something shady. Yeah.
No, you're right. And I don't know. But that, I guess it just comes back to, you know, what you're willing to stand. You know, are you willing, you know, you're okay to get in bed with Nike, who probably employs a lot of underage people in China or wherever, making 12 cents an hour. Mm-hmm. You can live with that, but you can't live with a journalist getting essentially chopped to pieces by a particular government. And that is a really ugly, disgusting thing. So people just have different levels of what they're willing to accept from the money that they take.
I guess. Yeah, I guess.
But again, it's all, you know, you trace any paycheck you get, and there's probably some dirt behind it.
But I do think Ennis just kind of signed his way out of the NBA.
Yeah, you don't come back from this.
The crazy thing is, Ennis can never go home.
I know. That's a dude that sacrificed his nationality.
Yeah.
Like frankly, to
try to bring awareness.
Honestly, I don't even think Ennis can go to Europe. Like, I think he, even if he were to walk into Germany or another country, he might be in trouble.
Yeah, could be seized. I wouldn't go anywhere where I've got the potential of somebody putting cuffs on me and hauling me away.
Ennis made a lot of money in the league. Go buy yourself a nice plot of land somewhere and settle down and stay there, because anywhere else internationally you go, Turkey's looking for you. All right. Eric, go ahead and spin it.
UFC 276 was a snooze fest.
So, watched the UFC over the weekend, Scotty. I'm sure a lot of people did. And I'm just getting a little bit sick and tired of belt defenses. Israel Adesanya and Alexander Volkanovski both defended their title. Israel defended his title against Jared Cannonier, and Alexander defended his title against Max Holloway. And it couldn't have been that. That's a total of 50 minutes of fighting. That's five-minute rounds.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, essentially two of those. And there's nothing you can do because they've got the belt. They both own the belt. They don't want to extend themselves and get themselves out of sorts, so they just work a jab for 25 minutes. Jab, 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 takedown defense, jab. And it was the most boring co-main and main event that I've watched in a long time. And I'm going to get the people that are big Stylebender fans and be like, Adesanya was incredible, or Alexander is just unbeatable. And both of them are very good. But title defenses, Scotty, I think that they're overhyped a lot of times. But that's why you love guys like Spider Silva.
Yeah.
As much as I hate John Jones, that's why you love guys like John Jones. Because it didn't matter if it was a belt defense or if it was his first two fights into the UFC. He was going for the kill. He was going in to take that other guy out. And UFC 276 was just a big snooze fest. There were a couple of fights early in the card that were okay. The fight of the night went to Lawler, who is, you know, he's been in the game for a long time, and it was a matchup of two old dogs in the UFC, and that was the fight of the night, and deservedly so. But man, I don't know. Sometimes I get really on the UFC 27, or I get on the UFC bandwagon, and sometimes I'm off this wagon, man. This one might have put me off the wagon for a bit.
Wow, that bad.
At least until it comes to Salt Lake City. I think it's is the next one, or is it?
Isn't it 278? Is there one in between?
Yeah, you're right. There's one in between. You are right. Yeah, I'm going to take a little bit of a break.
It's not you, it's me.
It's me. I think it's me. I'm sure that a lot of people out there are disagreeing. Like, oh, it was an incredible card. The takedown defense was incredible. You remember watching Anderson Silva?
Oh, yeah.
You don't watch a lot of MMA.
No, I do watch Anderson, though.
But you knew when he was in the octagon that it was going to be a show.
Yeah.
I thought it was going to be a show with Adesanya. It couldn't have been more boring. Same with Alexander. Just couldn't have been more boring. And there's nothing you can do. Can you think of anything to infuse excitement into it? The guy's defending his title. He's not going to extend. Because the UFC is not like boxing. People mistake this often. In boxing, you get the standing eight. You get dinged, and you go down, and you're dizzy. You get a chance to stand up. If Fisher rubs your gloves,
yeah,
he's in your face. It allows the cobwebs to clear, and you resume fighting. In the UFC, you get that same touch. You go down, it's out. You're done. It's over. So I'm not going to overextend, because if you catch my button once, you take my belt.
Yeah.
And then I've got to go through sometimes a 3 or 4 fight system just to get back to try to get that
just
belt
to get
again.
Another shot at it.
Which now we're looking at about 2 to 2.5 years.
Yeah.
And if I'm 32, now we're talking about me getting out of my prime just to try to get back to get the belt. So nobody extends themselves. Can you do a standing eight in mixed martial arts?
No. I mean,
is that too damaging?
It's a good point.
Because in boxing, you know, you'll see a champ get back up.
Yeah.
And he'll keep throwing, because he knows if he goes down, he has enough faith in his ability to stand up in 8 seconds and get the cobwebs out. But the UFC right now, it's missing something in these title defenses, in my opinion.
Yeah. All right. One more. Go ahead and spin it.
Zion gets paid.
You kind of feel bad for the Pelicans a little bit, because they really didn't know what to do with Zion Williamson. The talent is certainly there and is worthy of a max contract, but is the health, is the commitment, is that there where you need it to be for Zion? But with really no other options, the Pelicans did give Zion a 5-year, $193 million designated max rookie extension. Could be worth more than $231 million if he has there's some trigger escalators involved that could push that number up a little bit. But Zion, for even the small amount of games that he's played in the league, gets himself that rookie max extension.
Played in 24 games, 2019. Played in 61 games in 2020.
And zero last year. So he's played in three.
How did you? They took it down to 72. Is that right?
Yeah.
That the 2020 was 72, right?
Correct.
Yep. Okay. I'm just trying to put together available, because I was thinking 61, because I thought they'd played less than 61, but they played 72. He did play 61 of the 72 through the COVID year, 24 the year before, his rookie year.
Yeah.
And how many last year?
Zero.
Yeah.
So he's played roughly around one full season's worth of games in 3 years.
Oh, man. Yeah.
About the health. You worry about the commitment to being in the right condition, although he loves to send out Instagram photos of of him tearing a rim apart, which nobody doubts. It's just if you're New Orleans, you're just like, I don't know what else to do here.
They know more about him than we know because they deal with him on a daily basis. But from what I know of him, if I was in charge of that organization, I understand that the talent is immense and the potential is incredible. And if we lose him, we could have egg on our face. I might lose my job as an exec.
Exactly.
I might lose my – I will lose my job. If I don't take care of this guy and he goes on to do great things, I will lose my job, and rightfully so. And I might be ostracized and never find a job in the NBA again. With all of that said, knowing what I know of Zion, I'm not touching him with a contract like that. Unless I can work in verbiage that's like, if you don't hit X amount of games, you don't get a penny. Like, I'm having all kinds of clauses written into that thing. Happy to pay you, Zion, but you got to play. Period.
Yeah. All right, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Hans and Scotty, wrap this thing up. Get you ready for Unrivaled straight ahead right here on The Zone.
You're locked on to Hans Olsen and Scotty Chin.
That's right. Yeah.
Presented by U First Credit Union on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Wrapping up another edition of the show, Unrivaled coming up next. Scott Mitchell, Alex Curry. Obviously, a lot of news in the world of the Big 12. Are they going to raid the Pac-12? What's going to happen? I do think it's going to be an interesting week, that's for sure.
Well, it's going to be very interesting, and I did see the release from Colorado that they supported the decision of the Pac-12 board of directors this morning to begin conference media right negotiations. And then they put this, they tagged this on it, Scotty. They said, we are committed to the Pac-12 and look forward to being an active participant in those conversations until we are contacted by a bigger and better conference.
You know, it's interesting.
Then we are not committed.
Yeah, then we are very much committed to that.
To that.
You know what I think is really fascinating, and you need to be careful out there because there's a lot of people out there that want to hear certain news, and so they're searching and they're scouring the internet. I think it's really important to know that you and I have talked to a lot of people, mm-hmm. a lot of really, really, I mean, people that should know. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of people that we've talked to that you would think would have a grasp on what's going on, and they put their hands up and they're like, bro, your guess is as good as mine. The people that actually know, and you're going to hear a lot of people with hashtag sources and all this other stuff, that the circle of people that really truly know what's going on is very, very small.
But what's interesting, though, Scotty, this is what I've found in my conversations with people. Like, for instance, let's say you and I knew that our final destination next month. No, let's say we knew our final destination in 2 years was downtown New York, New York. We knew that that was our destination. But somebody was like, okay, well, you gotta pick the route. Like, how do you want to get there?
Yeah.
And there are 100 different ways to get there. I think that that's what coaches and ADs and everybody, they know what the final destination is.
Yeah, that's a good point.
But they just don't know all the routes that it's going to take, that they can take to get there. So right now it's a patchwork mode. Well, what are we going to do in the interim? What are we going to do in the meantime? Well, maybe we can join Big 12 and Pac-12. I mean, I promise everybody, if that happens, that's just a short-term fix.
Yeah.
Whatever we see is a short-term fix until we get to the final destination, which is essentially breaking it down to whether it's 32 or 64. Mm-hmm. But them having a bunch and everybody else not having a lot.
Yeah. Spot on.
But we just have a weird few years until we get there.
All right, Unrivaled is going to break more of that down coming up next. Miles Broadhead hanging out with us from Wasatch Medical. And, Miles, we appreciate you hanging out because I know there's a lot of listeners, and they've heard you on the radio. They've heard Wasatch Medical for years, and they get that phone out, and they go 801-901-8000, but the pride gets in the way. They just can't hit send. Well, look, the condition's not getting any better on its own. It's time to take action and get your life back.
That's right, guys. If you're out there and if those thoughts have occurred in your mind, trust me, you're not alone. There's about 30 million men suffering. Only, 71% are not seeking treatment. Don't be one of those guys. We can get this back in your life without the pill and all its chemicals because we use a technology, a non-invasive pain-free technology called wave therapy. Gentle pressure waves travel through the skin into the blood vessels, causing them to expand to allow for more blood flow. Only about 15 minutes in the clinic, and you could be looking at an end date. Good candidates who call us today could be seeing fireworks back in the bedroom by the 4th of July. Don't let your ED get a hold of you. And honestly, it's really easy to give us a call right now. You'll get the exam, assessment, and blood flow ultrasound all for free, guys. Plus, we'll give you an additional gift, provides powerful results in the bedroom. You won't pay a dime for any of it. You literally have nothing to lose by calling us right now.
801-901-8000. Miles, that's a lot of free, man. Take advantage of it right now. Free assessment. Free gift, free consultation, and let's get you squared away. Thanks so much for your for calling in today. We appreciate it.
Thank you, guys. Have a good day.
You got it. Hands and Scotty, that wraps it up for us. Unrivaled next, right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
I'm Dave Cauley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now, too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.